Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, Simon here again. Looking at the book of Deuteronomy, just a couple of reflections that I hope either challenge or encourage you, or maybe both. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 to 19, and I'm going to read out the full text to you. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, which he charged you to observe. That is the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on the two stone tablets. The Lord charged me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you're about to cross into and occupy. Since you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire, take care and watch yourselves closely so that you do not act corruptly by making an idol for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of an animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And when you look up to the heavens and see the sun, the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, do not be led astray and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples everywhere under heaven. Now, this is a fabulous text because it says something very not only interesting but necessary about God's communication with man. Out of the fire, he says, they heard the Lord, but they never saw any form. God spoke, but God did not show. Their relationship with God was with his voice, or in other words, his word. Therefore, himself, his word is God articulated. So when God spoke, and we know that ultimately that speaking of, that articulation of the Father is actually the Son, Jesus. Jesus was incarnated as the Word of God. He's the Word that took on the clothing of flesh. It's one of the remarkable mysteries of the Trinity and the remarkable mysteries of our faith. But what's fascinating is that their relationship was with God's word, not with any form or appearance of God. And that's because human nature would always have a tendency to idolize what's seen rather than to listen to what's heard. And we're still like that. We're still, what we see captures us often quicker than what we hear. But what we hear is transformative, not always what we see. And so God was saying to them, you are not to imagine anything in the created world possibly reflects what I am like. The only thing is a voice that you understand, a word you understand. Now, people, I've heard arguments both ways, argue whether God has a form, and in a sense, as a concretized form. To me, it's a moot point, as we can't be certain either which way. The idea of God having a body like ours is something I could never answer, and I don't even speculate on. And because the Lord, when he appeared to his people, didn't appear in form, he appeared in word. And it's interesting that even Jesus, the Word, when he came in form, it says that he had no form that we should desire him. And we have no pictures of, no recordings of, no memories of what Jesus actually looked like. And there's a purpose in that, is so that we remember his word rather than start some strange idolization of a form. So whether God has a form or not, I can't tell you. I lean towards not any form that we would understand or recognize, because God is spirit. But whether we tend to think of spirit as something disembodied, but that may not fully cover what that is saying. In fact, it doesn't. But what we are being told is that it's idle speculation. Idle, get that? You see what I did there? It's idle speculation making an idol of God. And it's interesting that the nations that Israel dispossessed were all by nature idolatrous. And idols, here's the point. Idols always lead to the worship of creature and creation and not the creator. Because the creator we have not seen, but we have heard from him. But creature and creation we have seen, but they are not the creator. So that for all the beauty and the wonder of the created world and the glory of God's creation of mankind, for all of those things, they are not the creator. There's a distinction and a difference that I'm not sure is ever properly bridged, although, of course, we argue that the incarnation bridged it, but that's another perspective of what we're talking about. So we go to the Apostle Paul. How does he read all that? What does he say about that? What does he comment on that? And we turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 32. These today are controversial words because they say something about sexuality that's extremely unpopular. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Excuse me. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen or mediated through the things he has made. So they are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him or give or as God or give thanks to him. Wow, just that little text there. The lack of thanks is one of the greatest sins of humans. But they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images representing a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, here's the stinger. Because of mankind's tendency to not listen to the word, but to look toward things that are seen, here's the therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts to impurity. So idols lead to impurity, to the degrading of their bodies among themselves because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural. In the same way, also the men giving up natural intercourse with women were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, this is talking about humanity as a whole, God gave them up to a debased mind and to things that should not be done. They were filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife. This is a big, hefty list. Deceit, craftiness. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, rebellious towards parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless, at which point Paul put down the thesaurus. They know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, that they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. In the last few years, these have become very controversial texts, but it's only because of the wish for controversial behaviour that they've become controversial. And even though I don't have time to talk about them in this brief reflection, I think the trajectory is important. This is it. This plots the trajectory of idol worship to immorality. It's the natural, inevitable, unnatural outcome or natural outcome. If God is not glorified, we will descend to moral corruption because by default, we will worship something other than the creator. We will worship creation or creature. It isn't, and here's the thing, it isn't possible for people to not worship something. So we are asked to worship as believers a God we cannot see, but a God we've heard from who we can trust. A God who raised Jesus from the dead, who was seen, and his testimony is true in the Gospels and the book of Acts and handed down to us. And what do we worship today? Well, if we don't worship God, we worship fame and fortune and objects. You know, like you scratch my Lamborghini and you discover what I'm actually like. I don't have one, so you're not going to discover. But I wouldn't say no to one. I would. I'd prefer something else. Psalm 115, verses 4 to 8. And this is interesting because even the psalmist talks about this. He said, "Our God is in the heavens. He does what he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel. They've got feet, but they do not walk. They make no sound in their throats. Those who make them are like them. So are all those who trust in them." The Psalms ridicule the making of idols because the psalmists say, you're getting a piece of wood, you're crafting one piece to keep your family warm at night, and the other part you're crafting into an idol for your family to worship during the day. And there is actually, the psalmists are actually saying, how stupid can you get? And because he said, those who make them are like them, which means that they're dumb, they're deaf, without feelings, they can't walk or talk. They can't do anything of value because they've become like the very things that they worship. People become like the thing they worship. And the reason why is because we've lost that love of and that listening to what God says. So God communicates by what he says. In fact, you'll see that when people are filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, the prime recognition of the filling of the Holy Spirit is vocalization. It's prophecy, it's tongues, it's praise, all these things. And so when God's Spirit is around, there's always a vocalization. There's always, "and God said," and that's what our trust is in, God's word. And when we get that word in us, we learn more about the marvel of who God is, who we worship in spirit and in truth without having to see him. And that is the glory of our worship. And it's the shame of mankind when we worship things and we take what is due God and God's glory and God's holiness, and we package it to worship things, fame, fortune, TikToks. How many TikToks did you get? How many TikTok followers did you get? What sort of car do you drive? What neighborhood do you live in? What's your income? These are the things that we unashamedly worship because we've lost the worship of God because we forgot to hear from God. My friends, keep reading, keep listening, keep meditating on God's word. It is your strength. It's your future. Have a most excellent day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.